Ah, yes, well, indeed. That is to say, they told me to tell you to... His face morphs into a stony mask, from which icy little pebble eyes glint like soulless cometary fragments. Keep your hands off the junior partners, minion, or we will be forced to withdraw our employment, just as one did with your elder sister. For a moment his chilly gaze holds me transfixed. Then something changes, and his expression collapses into helpless sorrow. I don't know what I can add to that. Oh, dear. He sniffs. Romantic entanglements with the hired help are against the rules, and that's an end of it. Kate, what can I say? I shudder violently, take a deep breath, and try to throw off the memory of that cryogenic stare. It's all right, Jeeves. I get the message. Well, truly, I don't. I find it deeply baffling. Do Jeeveses exchange soul chips while they're still alive? That might explain his extraordinary personality change, and also the similarity between them. They're much closer than my Sibs and I. A stab of remorse. I thought it was just harmless fun. Maybe extreme arousal lies outside Jeeves's normal operational parameters. I'm sorry. Won't happen again. Oh, dear. What am I supposed to do now? Jeeves's imago struggles to pull himself together. Your next mission is to present yourself at your earliest convenience to our local office at... He rattles off an address, where my senior partner will discuss your assignment with you. You should know, he pauses, the stony-eyed expression is abruptly back, that the Jeeves in residence was transferred to Callisto under suspicion. We have now traced your incorrect orders to this office. We believe the Jeeves in residence is the traitor responsible for betraying our organization, and we hereby instruct you to, kill him. Beads of oily biomimetic sweat stand out on his forehead. He stops abruptly. That's all I'm supposed to say to you. I'm sorry. Goodbye. Hey, wait one... I shout, but the imago has auto-erased itself, taking what's left of his love-struck gaze with it, leaving only a faintly apologetic eyebrow to hover in my visual field for a moment longer. Idiot! Baffled and fuming, and humiliated and trying not to admit it to myself, I pace back and forth across the suite, giving in to agitation. Kill the Jeeves in residence? Because he's a mole? Transferred under suspicion? What in our Creator's name is going on here? A nasty thought strikes me. How do I know that the Marsport Jeeves isn't the traitor? I've got nothing but his unsupported word that this one's the bad one, after all. Fool! I kick the side of the bed, cracking the icy sheet. Romantic entanglements with the hired help are against the rules, as long as you don't count fucking with their heads, it seems. Let's see. Jeeves is working against the Domina and her Black Talon friends, but he's also colluding with her. Or one of him is. Which one? Who knows? The colluding one is using me to send messages, possibly in the form of my own neck. Unless the non-colluding one is trying to convince me that... I turn to the next message in my queue, hoping it'll stop my brain melting. Instead, I realize only too late that it's anonymous... And there's no imago, just a speech stream. Sister. I hear heavy breathing, as if in a pressurized atmosphere with an oxidizing component. A metallic, hatefully familiar voice. You should have kept your filthy claws off him. He's mine. I recoil. The Domina? What's she doing in my inbox? What do you want? I ask, a breathy little chuckle.
You, she says.
And then the message runs out of branches, and damn it, just like Jeeves, auto-erases. One of these days, when I'm domina of dominas, I'll issue a decree that bans self-erasing mail. Until then, all I can do is swear at my pad, and my empty queue, and my purposeless so-called life. And then, a brisk dry-cleaning shower being not at all appealing, it occurs to me that I might as well go forth and visit the Jeeves in residence. At least I can ask him some questions before I make up my mind whether to kill him. The alternative is to lie here staring at the cracks in the ceiling and wondering if I'm going crazy. Because while my poison caller sounded like the domina, I've heard that breathy laugh before, in my very own throat, while I've been dreaming of Juliet. It was mid-afternoon when I landed in Nerevik, which is on the equator, and it's edging slowly toward dusk as I step out. Callisto's diurnal period is more than 16 standard days long. Jupiter is a gibbous, streaky horror, riding across the zenith of the night-black sky. It covers almost as wide an angle as Earth seen from the lunar equator, while the sun, a shrunken, glaring button, sinks slowly toward the horizon. There is never a truly dark night on Callisto, although total solar eclipses are not uncommon and bring an eerie twilight to the crumpled desolation. It's chilly outside, and I'm very glad for the cold weather mods I installed on Mars. Out beyond the edge of town, distant flecks of light inch across the broken horizon. I can't tell if they're belt carriers crawling along the ground, or more distant freight buckets riding the magnetic catapult up to their parking orbit. In the opposite direction, the domes and dildos of pressurized buildings cast slowly lengthening shadows. My map-foo is loaded, and I let it guide me toward a paraboloid structure that claims to be a run-down office complex occupied by a variety of mining support businesses and body shops. Jeeves Co. supposedly maintains a presence there, although I can't for the life of me see why. This isn't exactly a high-class joint. There are gambling dens and juice joints and whorehouses galore, for even mining overseers have needs. But there's precious little market for a gentleman's gentleman. Still, I suppose he has his reasons. I wait impatiently for the airlock to cycle and flush me with warm carbon dioxide. The sooner I can get off this ball of mucky ice, the better. Hopefully this particular Jeeves simply wants me to carry something back to the flesh pots of the inner system. There's a reception desk at the front of the atrium, and it tracks me with beady eyes as I cross the rough aggregate floor. Where's Jeeves? I ask. The reception desk blinks at me. Fourth floor, it says, but there's a visit. Never mind, he's expecting me. I head for the elevators. I step out of the elevator into a drab vestibule. It's completely empty but for two doors at either end. One of them has a discreet plaque, brass untarnished by exposure to oxygen. Facilitators unlimited. I approach it and electrospeak the lock. Freya, to see Jeeves. Come in. The lock clicks, and the door opens before me, and hands close around my wrists and drag me inside. In a split-second instant of crystalline clarity, I realize I've been very, very stupid.
Please be seated,
croaks the thing they've made of the Jeeves in residence. He's sitting behind the trademark desk, but his arms end in complicated stumps at the shoulders. One of his eyes is a splashed, iridescent mess hanging half out of its socket, and something about his posture tells me that they've hacked his legs off too, leaving a pitifully immobile, cognitive stump to talk to me. I've been grabbed by two spiny horrors, bigger than I am and far stronger, their humaniform arms and legs sculpted in strange geometric surfaces. I yank hard with my right hand and begin to bring my leg up, heel extending, but my captor just glares at me and gives my wrist a tug, and I realize it's not a hand that's gripping me. His wrists terminate in great scissor-like shears. His carapace is armored, too. I'd break a heel, and he'd snip clean through my wrist, and I'd be no nearer escape. I wriggle and tug like a duck cleaner that's fallen on dry ground, but they're not having any of it. And that's an end of the matter. So after a few seconds, I give up and hang loose between them, biting back hysteria as I stare at Jeeves.
That is better, says Jeeves, as if reading from a script. She will arrive shortly.
He sounds like that staple of drama, the robot, soulless and grim. Someone stripped out everything I find attractive about his kind, leaving an object of horror and sympathy. I glance around surreptitiously. The signs of struggle are everywhere, from the trashed inner doorframe to the wreckage of his arms lying discarded behind a plinth bearing an antique urn. I swallow, aghast. What happened? I ask.
My mistress came for me.
His remaining eye is as expressionless as a stone embedded in a grey silicone rubber mask.
If you don't remember, she will explain.
My, the definite article. He's speaking for himself, not for one, the collective Jeeves. So whatever's happening here is personal. I very nearly lose it and start struggling again, but a quick glance reminds me that resistance is futile. These things, what are they, some kind of soldier line, are big and wickedly fast. Two of them grabbed me the instant I walked in the door, and there are two more standing behind Jeeves. By the look of things, they've had him in their snicker-snack hands for some time. Jeeves, I say slowly, who owns you?
I am property of... No.
He begins to shudder. The eyelid contracts. A thick bead of something like moisture slides down his cheek. Icy terror clutches me as behind my back the door slides open.
Mistress!
His face clears. Hello, Kate, says a familiar voice, setting spidery chills racing up and down the skin in the small of my back. I lose track of who and where I am for a moment, imagining myself back on my 11th birthday. When my head clears, I'm laying face down on the floor, arms and legs spread-eagled, a searing pain cutting into each wrist and ankle.
Stop that! She shouts, her voice ringing in my ears. Stop that at once, you bad, bad girl!
I'm choking back panic. I remember her bed on the Pygmalion. Granita's got me in her web again, hasn't she? My fingers scrabble. Then I feel the floor through them, and I begin to collect my scattered selves. I'm being held down by two soldiers, but they haven't snipped off my... yet. What do you want?
That's better, she soothes.
You've got something of mine. Her voice drops a notch. Where is it? Her dress rustles loudly as she kneels beside me, and I feel her fingers parting my hair. I begin to buck and spasm again as her painted claws dig into the skin at the nape of my neck. No, Granita! But she's not listening, and everything goes black and tastes of electric roses and blue ice for an infinite instant. I come to slowly, dully aware of a conversation flowing around me. Him to the operational center and have them box him up for transport. She's talking to someone else, obviously, and I'm still lying on my face, but the sharp, crushing sensation in my wrists and ankles is gone. The scissor-hand soldiers have let go of me with their terrible shears. My limbs are tingling painfully, but I can still feel my fingers and toes. I try to move an arm, slowly, in case it's damaged. Control runs severed, muscles crushed, or bones bent. I have some vague idea that I can scuttle away and hide behind the planter while she's giving her minions instructions about Jeeves. The back of my neck aches where she ripped a chip out, but it doesn't feel empty. Some nerve damage, for sure, I decide. Why did she want my soul chip? There's a dripping noise coming from somewhere near me. I open Catherine Sorico's two large eyes and see a viscous puddle of blue fluid spreading beside my nose. It's hydraulic fluid, riddled with marrow techne. Somebody is bleeding out. Is it me? I wonder, spreading the fingers of my left hand and pushing against the floor very gently. No. Good. I twitch underused muscles, and my heels extend a couple of centimeters before I pull them back in. That's something I remember from Juliet, the solid crunch of a chest plate or a skull beneath my flying kick. As long as my legs work, I'm not disarmed. And I'm still intact, I think, embracing the realization like a lover's body. You can sit up now, dear, Granita says lightly, and taps me on the shoulder with a cane. Be calm. Shit. She must have seen me move. I push myself sideways and bring my knees up and begin to roll onto my feet. I could run for it, but no, the soldiers are still there, lurching crazily across my field of view as I turn over. How did she get here, I wonder, as some of the sticky web that seems to have engulfed me begins to peel back from my mind. Yes, I ask cautiously, the full gravity of my situation finally sinking in. This is bad. Very bad. Can you stand? She asks, raising an eyebrow. I stare at her in her fairy tale princess finery, white and silver to suit the climate, an elven ice queen with sapphire hair, dressed for a winter ball in the dark of a Jovian moon. I think so. I gather my strength, then lurch unsteadily to my feet. The soldiers watch me incuriously. You'd think they'd stay between me and their mistress. But I'm not close enough to her to be certain I'd subdue her before they could move, and something tells me they're not her only defense. Good. Granita smiles at me impishly, as if sharing a secret joke. There's a sleigh outside. You and I are going to leave by the front door. Then we're going to go for a little ride together. I suppose later you can tell Jeeves that you fulfilled your mission. Don't worry. I'm sure you'll enjoy where we're going. My biomimetic reflexes kick in, and I take a deep breath, nostrils flaring. After a moment, I nod at her. Yes. If she wants to go for a ride, I can live with that. It's better than having her tame thugs chop my hands and feet off like poor Regent. I blink. Jeeves, surely. Why did I think he was called Reginald? I glance at the soldiers. Did you get tired of Stone and his brothers? Granita doesn't answer, but turns and strides toward the door in a swirl of heavy skirts. After a moment, I follow her. There doesn't seem to be anything else I can do. Two of the scissor soldiers follow us, brooding nightmare statues that cast long shadows. We ride the elevator down to the lobby in silence. I don't want to risk provoking her. She was always hard to read, and I'm sure there'll be an opportunity to get away later. My mind spinning. Why did she do that to Jeeves, I wonder? The main players in this little game have exercised discretion in attacking one another so far. I find myself shaking as I remember the sight of him, flaccid and dead-looking in the chair, arms and legs piled haphazard and broken in a corner of the room. Something about the sight fills me with more than horror. There's grief hidden in the mix that is me, and frustration, a feeling that things could have been different. Did she slave-chip him? I think, morbidly aware that if that's the case, the game is up. She knows everything he's got access to. Did she? My hand goes to the nape of my neck instinctively.
Don't fidget,
Granita says sharply, and I whip my hands behind my back to rub my sore wrists together where she can't see them. Calm down. There's nothing to get worked up about. The elevator doors open. Follow me. There's a sleigh in silver and blue livery sitting on its skids outside the airlock, bubble canopy gleaming gold beneath the ominous stare of Jupiter. Ice crunches beneath my heels as I follow Granita over to it. She climbs aboard and motions me to the jump seat opposite her. The two scissor soldiers of her escort take up position on the running boards and latch on to external hard points. As I strap myself down, the canopy closes, and the sleigh spews chilly air across my feet. She gestures at a microfiber rug. You might as well tuck yourself in, she says. We've got a long way to fly, and it's going to be a cold night. I humour her as the sleigh's rocket motors begin to howl distantly, and the anti-sound cuts in, relegating it to a low moan and a faint vibration underfoot. I sit still, don't fidget, I recall, as we rise quickly and accelerate, heading west across the icy rubble-strewn bullseye of the Valhalla Basin, directly toward the sunset. After a couple of minutes, Granita deigns to break the silence. You're probably wondering why I had you taken, she says hesitantly, and what I'm doing with that Jeeves. She sounds almost troubled, a far cry from her usual self. What kind of game can she be playing, I wonder? Yes, I say cautiously. Seems like the right thing to do. Well, aside from reclaiming my misplaced and misused property, we share a common purpose. She puts a strange emphasis on the final word and looks at me significantly. Don't move. I freeze, apprehension clinging to me like an icy, damp dress. Very good. I was wondering if they'd damaged you back at that greasy turdbag's office. I told them to take care, but from now on, you're going to leave your cranial sockets alone unless I tell you to touch them. Do you understand? Not understanding, I nod. Something about the set of her shoulders relaxes infinitesimally. Good. Her lips quirk in something not unlike a smile. The Supreme Jeeves wanted you in position here because Jupiter's system is the gateway to the outer darkness. You may think he's a nice guy, but he isn't, really. He was going to have you chipped and reprogrammed as an assassin, Kate. Use you as an impersonator aimed at me. That's what the property of mine that he stole is all about. Then he was going to send you on a suicide mission to Eris with a bomb in your abdomen. Huh? If she thinks that, she obviously doesn't know Jeeves. Although something tells me that there's more than one Jeeves that we are talking about, possibly more than two. I open my mouth to protest, but she holds up a hand. Silence, Kate. Don't interrupt me when I'm telling you what you need to know to survive. I shut my mouth again, and she continues. I'm guessing you're Freya. If not Freya, then you're either Samantha or Paloma. Jeeves was aiming to get his claws into all of... Don't look so surprised, you're all targets. All of us. I had to have you all declared illiquid and seized, in your case, personally. Which are you, by the way? I could kick myself. I've been so stupid. I lick my lips. Freya. Something about this whole setup feels horribly wrong in some way, but I can't quite put my finger on it. Her reaction to me is odd. Surely there should be a little more fire, a little less distance. First she seduced me, then she tried to have me killed. Very good. Freya. Well, from now on, you're Catherine Sorico. Yes, I know all about Jeeves's little stolen identity ring. You're not the only walking, hollowed-out shell company his tame murderers gutted. Nor are you the only rear lineage escort they've turned into an assassin. But I know how to deal with your kind. She blinks slowly and stares at me for a minute. I feel as though I ought to say something, but I'm not sure what. Finally, when I'm certain she's not about to start speaking again, I open my mouth. That's pretty rich coming from you, Granita, after you tried to kill me when I declined your offer. You turned me down? She raises an ironic eyebrow, and I feel a momentary stab of lust in my guts. Funny, I don't remember that. I don't generally make offers that people can refuse, Kate. She's playing with me. What offer do you think I made you? Her smile is mischievous. You wanted me to be your personal dominatrix. My lips are dry and rimmed with ice. To be part of your household, and to do for you what I did aboard the Pygmalion? You were going to dress me in blackened steels with spikes and call me your mistress? Was I, indeed? Her tone is as dry as the ice desert we fly across. Well, there's a thought. Such offers don't come every day. Why did you refuse? I didn't want to be... I can't quite think of it. Let me tell you what you didn't want. Granita leans forward, smiling oddly. Controlled level 9. Freeze. I find myself unable to move. I can't look away from her distant expression of amusement. Can't think of anything else. Yes, Kate. I slave-chipped you. You've been running on control level 1 with maximal autonomy, so light you didn't even notice it. You probably thought you were humouring me, going along until you could find an opportunity to escape. Welcome to level 9. Say yes. Yes, I croak. Say, Granita is my owner. I know I ought not to want to, but I don't actually feel any resentment. Granita is my owner. Now punch yourself in the face. I don't even see my hand swing up, fist balled, but my head bounces off the seat back, and the pain is brutal and sudden. Remember, this is level 9, Granita says, when she's quite sure I'm listening again. Level 10 control is reserved for our dead creator's police agencies. It requires human authentication, and not even the pink police have access to that without a human in the loop. You're not going there. She's not smiling now. Control level 1. My mind clears. I shoot her a venomous look, but I'm quite calm. Struggling isn't going to work, is it? I reach up and begin to remove both the soul chips I'm wearing, then realize I'm daydreaming idly. My hands rest quiescent on top of the blanket in my lap. But my face still stings. Here are your guiding instructions, Catherine Sorico. You will obey me as if I were your template matriarch and execute my orders with enthusiasm. You will not attempt to remove your currently socketed chips, and you will resist attempts to remove them. You will not disclose to any other person that I control you. If anyone asks, you are Catherine Sorico, and you are an independent aristo who is happy to be my friend and associate of her own free will. You no longer need to be depressed, because you will find personal fulfillment and happiness in pursuing my objectives, which you will seek to fulfill by any appropriate means. You will be happy when you complete assigned tasks, ecstatic when you successfully find a new way to help me, and depressed when you contemplate disobedience or failure. You will only become sexually aroused in my presence or by people I tell you to seduce. Do you understand? You may talk freely now.
I think so. It's a lot to get my head around all at once, and her phrasing is odd, not to mention that some of it seems harsh. No lovers? What's the point of that?
Do you want to give me any extra instructions now? I mean, if I don't know what your goals are.
Very good, dear. Granita smiles happily now. She reaches out and takes my nearest hand between hers.
Yes. I have some extra instructions for you before I outline my goals. But first, I want you to tell me everything that happened since the moment you met your first Jeeves.
We travel west into the darkening night side of Callisto for hours. I tell Granita all about my travels, even the stuff she already knows. She seems eager to hear about herself as I saw her, and asks many questions, especially about our relationship. She seems to be obsessed with knowing how others see her, which is odd. She didn't strike me as being so self-conscious aboard Pygmalion. But what do I know? I'm her property now. Maybe when we arrive, wherever we're going, she'll take me back into her bedroom. I can hope. I know I ought to be climbing the walls or throwing a tantrum, but Granita is a level-headed and experienced slave owner and knows exactly what she's doing. She eased me in gently and told me to stay calm, which is excellent advice when you've just had a controller installed and your owner is demonstrating it to you. It's not so bad, really. She doesn't want me to be afraid of her, she just wants me to enjoy serving her. I wish she'd tell me what she wants me to do, though. Some of my memories of Sibs are kicking up a fuss, of course. Juliet is in there, yammering loudly about free will and swearing at me. But I don't need to listen to her. It's not as if she's got a leg to stand on when she accuses me of submitting voluntarily, is it? After all, she gets wet whenever she so much as thinks about Petruchio.